Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Mayu? Arch Enemy and Hero?
It's one of them. It's one of them, yeah.
Indeed. But before that, we were talking about movies or shows that we're actually watching right now, going on a nice little tangent about how Rick likes to tell me stories that I've told him. And then tells me about those stories that I've told him.
In the most correct way possible.
Indeed. If you want to catch a part of that wider conversation, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will get you all that bonus content and more. Now, on to the meat and potatoes, sir. Mayu, Arch Enemy and Hero. It is anime that came out in January 2013, ran all the way through March 2013. It's 12 episodes long. Producers for it are Genko and Animax. The studio for it is ARMS. It's based off of a light novel, and genres are adventure, fantasy, romance, and demons. And because I like to remind you that we don't always watch rated R shows, this is rated PG-13. All right, so.
Yes. The premise itself is PG-13. Everything else about it is PG-13. It's honestly nice. It's not great. But it's nice.
It's a good story. It is, I would say it's definitely unique, right? So it's not It's not an isekai in the sense that someone's being summoned to a world and they're fighting off the Demon King. In fact, within the first few minutes, you're introduced to the Demon King, and the Demon King is actually a Demon Queen who's been in love with and apparently has been infatuated with the hero who's supposed to kill her and bring peace to the realm or whatever else. That's not at all how it actually turns out. And I find the story premise really refreshing that, hey, you know what? Let's actually just kind of, her idea is like, let's just go and see what's beyond war. Let's try and improve things overall for everyone. I don't want one side to win versus the other side. And she has a very realistic view on things. She has a very realistic mentality, and his is more
traditional.
It's not traditional. I would say idealistic or naive.
Okay, I'll give you that. Naive is a good way to put it.
Because
I just thought, go
ahead. I was going to say, because he, one of his counter arguments is, humans would never do that, because she's talking to him, and as our main character, Mayu, the Demon King, says, like, look, if you guys win, all the demons are going to be enslaved. If we win, all the humans are going to be enslaved. And he's very adamantly against that ideology, that mentality. Humans would never take you guys slaves. We would never do this. We would never lower ourselves like that. Blah, 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 blah. And then he finally starts to come to the realization that that's not really true.
Yeah, that it's more accurate to say that, yeah, you actually will, regardless of intent, because of history, because of ideology, because of lesser than isms. And I thought it was a good story. It's got a great premise. It's got a good execution. And the troubles they run into are very mundane considering everything else, you know?
Right.
But they're troubles that they're going to happen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I could have sworn that this, well, I couldn't, it's not that I could have sworn. I was expecting this to be an isekai of sorts. I was heavily expecting this to be to have the title of isekai, because I didn't quite understand. Did they move to a different world, or did they move to a different country?
Well, they moved to a different country. They didn't move to a different world. So they talk about a specific kingdom, and they're in the south. Southern part of the human kingdom, And they're living in a very particular area. And so they're able to make movements and they chose that area, or rather she chose that area, because it's very impoverished. It has a hard time getting food for the people, and it's small enough to where they're able to basically live their lives and do the experiment as needed. Right. And so she breaks down, the Demon King breaks down the overall economics, or breaks down farming. Like, this is what they do for fields out here. They do a 3-stage farming practice. Like, you have these two growing and then you have this one resting. But instead of having these growing stuff, we're going to have these growing, all of them, and then this one to help bring livestock up, to help fatten them up, to help make it so that way we can last through the winter. We're just going to grow all this clover for the pigs to go in there and they're going to eat. And then their droppings while they're eating are going to help fertilize the land, and it's going to make it more fertile and help replenish the nutrients in the soil, and breaking it all down. And Yusha, who is our hero, the hero, starts kind of having some internal conflict. He goes, you know, I've only ever known conflict. I, like, my whole purpose, my whole reason of being, everything is to fight, and I'm not intelligent. And he
that
knows
is, that is an understatement.
Thing is, he's actually a lot smarter than he gives himself credit for.
Well, I agree with you to a certain extent. I think that there's a special kind of knowledge you get in yourself by understanding you don't know everything, being humble enough to be like, I don't know enough to dispute what you're saying, and it sounds right, you know? So that's where I'm coming from with it, because I've seen in my personal life a bunch of people who are the I knows of the world, you know? Like, oh yeah, I know. You don't know, because you just don't know. And I think that's a huge virtue that he's got, by being able to not necessarily humble himself, but to acknowledge what he doesn't know and where his strengths are. And what I found really refreshing was that the Demon Queen, if you will, also, she understands where his strengths lie. And when she knows that he knows better, she takes a step back. It's almost an ideal circumstance of strength and knowledge, or an ideal relationship of strength and knowledge.
Yeah.
And it works really, really well, but it's not a cure-all.
No, it's not. And she understands that, and he understands that, which is why they are trying to get others kind of on board with them, I guess you could say.
Okay, that makes sense. You definitely are going to need certain people on your side to make it work, you know?
Yes.
So it makes sense. But, I mean, it's one of those weird things that, on paper, this premise sounds like it would be much more interesting than it was.
Right.
And on paper, it sounds like the problems you are going to encounter are far more of a problem. And then what you have here is much less. The everyday issues, everyday, and their relationship really doesn't progress very far as a relationship goes. As problem solvers, absolutely. As money makers, 100%. Romantically, I think it's stalemated, you know?
Yeah, for the moment, simply because that wasn't, even though it was a part of it, it wasn't the main driving force of it.
Well, while I wasn't really expecting it to be a love at first sight kind of thing, or even a love at season one, I was expecting there to be some kind of base for it, you know? Because we have a female, rather attractive, noble woman, almost female demon. And you've got, I would imagine, a fairly healthy, super strong hero man. And I figured on episode one, when I saw she was like, I choose you, I was thinking, okay, he's going to be a family member. This is the retirement arc, if you will, that I was expecting, you know?
Yeah.
And it really wasn't necessarily retirement so much as a very strenuous truce that he ended up having to leave often to go quell rebellion. I don't even know if it was rebellion.
It wasn't. And he didn't leave often, not because he had to go do something, because for a majority of the series, it wasn't even that he was going out there having to go and leave. He was coming back every night, and the maid knew he was coming back every night. He just didn't want to face her because he was ashamed of himself and the viewpoint that he has, like, on himself. He's like, well, I'm not smart. She's here. She's doing all this other stuff. She's going out there. She's teaching people how to farm. She's helping them elevate their lives. She's helping them make it so that way they don't have to rely and food is plentiful. So that way they can take care of the poverty. She's moving towards all this other stuff. And what am I doing? I'm swinging a sword and I'm hunting for meat, and that's about it. And so it was more so of a journey to kind of find himself and find a friend and to give himself a better purpose than anything else. And I think that's one of the key things that I like, is that he did decide to try and make himself better. I don't like that he made her worry through the whole series, through that whole time frame, right?
But did he know it?
Oh, yeah, you know he knows it because the maid's telling him.
But he's not smart.
That's no excuse.
It's no excuse.
I like the character development, and it's not that. It's not like it's just him, right? It's not just the Demon King. It's not just the knight, right? You have the two maids, the two of the other maids, the human maids that were serfs. You know, they're given property and things like that, but they're basically in the main maid's eye, Cho's eye, is they're insects. Because they don't strive or push for anything better, and they're just begging and hoping for the best. And instead of doing what they can to make themselves in an elevated position, instead of wanting to make themselves a human, that takes Annie, the older sister of the two maids, and pushes her to strive to be better, to educate herself, to elevate herself, so that way she can call herself with pride a human and not just an insect. And that plays a really key and pivotal part. I want to say 3/4 through it.
Okay. Now, seeing as you brought up a kind of a timeline, let's kind of bring in a time frame. How many years do you think this series glossed over? Or not necessarily glossed over, but how many years did this series cover?
2 years. Because they do actually specify timeline.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when he first leaves, when the hero first leaves, he's gone for almost an entire year. Like, almost right after he shows up, they show up. He's there for maybe a few months, like 3 or 4 months or whatever, and then he disappears, and he's gone for almost an entire year. And she gets pissed off at him for that. And then she has to go back, and she's just like, it's almost been 2 years. I have to go back. And so that's where you get that time frame from. So total, I think maybe over that whole course of time, 2.5 years, 3 years tops.
Now, do you think, obviously, I don't believe so, but do you think it deserves a second season? I don't think it's going to get one. I'd like to see it because it's got a great story, great premise, but given how long it's been out and the traction that it's received.
You know, I wish I could say that those would be deciding factors, Rick, but you and I both know those aren't deciding factors.
No, they're
but
not.
I mean, it's a nice enough show. It's not that heavy. It has some quirks in it, probably, but I personally don't think this needs a second season. I'm going to be honest, man. It was hard for me to get through.
Really?
It was hard for me to get through. And the reason why is because it just, to me, it did not feel like 23-minute episodes, man. It did not feel like 23-minute episodes. I sat there through each episode, especially for the first, like, after episode 1 to episode 8, I want to say 9.
Really?
Okay. I was pulling out my phone going, dear God, how long has it been? 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
It is slow. This does take its time.
Oh, yeah.
However, I didn't have it to that extent. For me, It was paced just well enough that every time I looked at my phone to find out how much more time I've got, usually about 15 or so minutes have passed. And actual viewing time per episode, they're 24 minutes each, roughly.
Yeah.
The opener and close, I'm going to guess maybe like 20 minutes. So 15 into it, I'm like, okay, is it going to be over? I watched this when it first came out, and I watched it again now. And I was very pleasantly reminded that they didn't have too many cliffhangers. They didn't have too many next week on, you know? And
with the pacing, that would have been hard to do. Like, you can't do that with this type of pacing, especially with how the story format is set up. You can't rightly do something like that. That would just be suicidal.
Well, okay, so I understand what you're saying, but I guess to clarify, they didn't end on a problem that needed a solution. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to clarify, they had a arc-wide problem. It wasn't an episode-wide problem. And I felt like it didn't have any... So you know what? Just sidetrack just a little bit. You know how most anime, you can tell by the animation style if it's meant for boys or girls, typically? Like, when it's meant for boys, everything is more... I want to say voluptuous, but that's not the right word. The bigger boobs, bigger butt, flamboyancy everywhere, hyper feminine girls fawning over guys, that kind of thing.
Well, it really depends on the genre that you're going for. Like this one, okay, this is an adventure fantasy romance. And so It's written in such a way so that way the main female character, the Demon King or Demon Queen, is as you're describing, but it's not that everyone's fawning over our main character or the protagonist, just two people.
Yes. But I, so like
for the, very the host different club. Reasons, very different yes. reasons. And but it's not a, that example. He's just there either.
No, he's not just there. I agree. But what I'm trying to say is the animation style, when it's focused towards the female populace, you have like the host club. The story is more prevalent than the animation. Here, I feel like they had a really good blend where the animation style was decent, but it had a really good story to go along with it.
Okay.
You know?
I mean,
so I guess that's where
I've seen it like kind of both ways. Right.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to take you on a carpet ride to a whole new world.
Mm.
Okay.
I don't want to go down this way.
Look, you got nothing to worry about, sir. You genuinely don't have anything to worry about. It's okay. It's all right.
I feel like you're hinting at an anime we're going to watch shortly.
Nah, I would never do that. I would never do that. Actually, no, we're not going to do that. But you never know. You like my vague answers on everything? I mean, no, but I've seen it both ways where you have like it's geared towards boys and the animation style. You don't really have voluptuous or whatever women. And I can say one off the top of my head where it really fits the bill.
Okay.
Dragon Ball. Damn it. Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Super. I don't know about you, Rick, but I don't see too many voluptuous, beautiful women throwing themselves at Goku or Vegeta.
Are you calling Bulma and Chi-Chi not attractive?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying they ain't voluptuous, running around scantily happy. Clad.
Going. I am more than happy that Goku and Vegeta are not here, because Vegeta would come here and smack both of us somehow through the monitor. And we fly.
Look.
Like, no, don't do it to me, please.
He just does it because he loves you.
Yeah. Yeah. Vegeta fought Beerus, a literal god, because he disrespected his wife.
Right.
We ain't that.
Look, Beerus ain't got nothing on me, sir.
Beres who?
Exactly.
God. Now that's a show that I'd like to come back, mainly because it's just fighting everywhere.
Right.
For no reason.
But has my point been made? All right.
No, I refuse. I refuse.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine.
Because for every Dragon Ball, you've got One Piece.
When it started off, there weren't that many people in there that were like that.
I agree. And the weird thing is, the stronger Nami gets, the bigger boobs get.
So
I swear it's hilarious.
I mean, well, they started off as young teenagers.
Did they? I always thought they were like mid-20s.
No.
Oh, shit.
You perverted old man.
Wow.
I'm going to call the police on you right now.
Yeah.
No, literally, though, like Nami, like when One Piece started, was like 15.
Oh, God.
So, and Luffy, he was like, I forget, roughly same age, 15, 16.
Well, yeah, they've been on for what, 15 years?
Yeah.
God, love it. It is what it is, though.
So, again, you know, it's a good show to kind of bring us back on topic. It's a good show. I'm not saying it's not good. I don't think I could survive a second season, though. What about you? If they were to, I don't think they'll do it, but I don't think I could survive it.
I would like to, only because I feel like there's a lot more you could do with it. You know, if you were to resolve the issues that will come up when their grace period is over, you know, and they show everyone, look, it can happen. This can be. And the discrimination they would face from both sides. And you'd have to essentially watch them turn from, I'm not going to even call them peace loving, but you would watch them potentially turn from, you know, civilized people to tyrants if the writing was bad.
Right.
If the writing was good, you would see democracy. You would see them envelop everything of importance into a new show. And they would do it in really good ways, you know? And granted, I'm not a writer. My strengths lie in what I can do with my hands rather than what I can do with my mind. And I am very well okay with that. I'm very much similar to the hero here. I'm not that smart, but I am capable. So the writers could come up with a much better scenario than I possibly could. So I would look forward to something like that. I would look forward to whatever story they could come up with. Because, you know, if they made this premise entertaining, which honestly is not that difficult, but if they made it entertaining over a longer period than just a couple OVAs, which they've done for me, then I would like to see what else they could do. How deep the rabbit hole goes, so to speak.
Okay. All right. No, that makes sense. And I just, if they were to do that, if they were to even attempt to try to do something like that, I just hope that the pacing would actually be a lot better then. I would hope that it maintains or holds that same pacing through those, like it did for the last three episodes for me, where the pacing picked up a little bit. It felt a little bit, felt like it flowed a lot easier, a lot better.
I could see that. I could definitely understand it. I don't know, man. It's one of the things that I'm unfortunately not equipped to critique too hard.
Right.
But I'll gladly consume it.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean, like, heck, man, we've consumed some pretty pretty hard shows to get through. I mean, like, I'll tell you this wholeheartedly. I will watch this a dozen times over before I go back to some of our ones and twos that are out there. 100%. Hands down. Hands down. I will watch this 100 times over before I go back to that trash. There is no way I can go back to some of those. All right. Like, honestly, this is something that I can just put on and just have playing in the background and not have to worry about paying attention to. Like, this would be that type of show, right?
Okay, I can see that.
Not something I would want to sit and watch through again, because it was hard for me to get through it the first time through. But it's something that put on in the background, just like pop in on a scene. Oh, I remember that scene. That's a nice scene. Now, yeah, that's not to say, it's not to say this doesn't have some very powerful scenes in it, some very powerful scenes in it. So, for example, when the maid Annie is pretending to be the Demon King because of a ring, right? Mm. And because the Demon King's like off trying to get her powers under control and everything like that, because she had to leave. This is where the insects portion of it comes back into play, right? She gives that whole speech. She gives that whole speech to an entire group of people. It's like, I believe in this, the light spirit that the church is saying that I'm a heretic of and everything like that, but I choose to live my life as an insect. I choose to live my life like that, not like that. And I, you know, just like at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what they do to me because I am a human and they can't take that away from me. And the fact that she was up there just able to speak from her heart, from the actions that the hero, the Demon King, and the Chow Mei, the main maid, head maid, did for her, gave her that ability to stand up on her own.
You know, character arcs and character development on here is quite extensive, which it's is why notch. I would have faith for a second season.
Yes, it's top notch. I am by any means not saying that it's not. Same thing with the world building. The world building is really done well. There's a lot that's kind of hinted at, you're told about, and you know, there's subplots among plots with questions that are layered out there and other plots that are going on, and it kind of like, can I get some answers here? Are you really just gonna say that and then that's it? I was like, are you really gonna just totally like introduce the Azure Demons and go deuces? That's it. That's the end of the series to me. Are you like, or there's this God spell magic thing? It's like, wait, what? What's going on here? So much that happens that it's ridiculous. Additionally, you think you're going to a demon realm the whole time, and you're not going to demon realm. You're just, hey, you know what? The earth is hollow. Guess what? You're just going 6 feet underground and that's it. Can I get some more context? What the hell's going on? Like, what's the deal with this? Like, it's not a different world. We're on the same world. We're in the world that we're on.
Like, oh yeah.
All this information that just constantly gets barraged with, especially towards the end. You're just like, what the hell is going on, man?
Oh yeah. And it's great. Like, is it great writing? Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Top notch. Like, I can't gush about it enough. And again, I repeat myself for, I want to say like the ninth time, it feels like a second season will be warranted and good for them. I will say, provided they get the same team back.
Right. Yeah. Same producers, same studio, same everyone. Just like, if you're going to do it, do it the same way you did it. Do it right. They got it right the first time, kind of, sort of. I mean, like some improvements, pacing, one of them being the things. But, you know,
director, but go ahead.
Yeah. One thing I found interesting, and it's a common theme that I'm noticing in a lot of other ones for a lot of shows, this one as well, potatoes. Like, you have an entire world of people that you couldn't figure out, oh, if I just boiled this stuff, steamed it, whatever, you know, you don't have to worry about that. You have an entire race of individuals that just can't go, I think this might work. Like, really?
Yeah, because then you'll have a bunch of people going, well, I mean, if we leave it in water long enough, it'll make alcohol.
So they're going to do that anyways. No, I mean, like Grant. Yeah, I know. Okay. Uncooked potatoes can be poisonous, and they do contain toxins. I get that. I understand that. But you're telling me an entire world just can't go, I think this might work.
No.
I guess
not. The simple answer is no.
Because, I guess not.
Like, no, you got to figure. Well, okay. Crap. I was going to make a point, but you're actually right. And I say that because we have a real world example. The pufferfish. Yep. It's very poisonous if prepared improperly. But guess what? We died because we love that food. So, yeah, unfortunately, because the pufferfish exists in our world, it's a good argument to say that they wouldn't have stopped just because it was poisonous.
Well, potatoes are another great example. Potatoes are, I'm not joking, potatoes are actually toxic. Did you not know this?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Literally, potatoes are actually, they contain a chemical that will actually make you violently ill. Uncooked, full-grown potatoes don't contain enough of this chemical. It's silloane, something like that. Anyways, when it's full-grown, a full-grown potato, like what you buy at the store or anything like that, doesn't contain enough of it. You bite it, you may get an upset tummy, you may get a tummy ache, that's about it. When it's green and it's sprouting and you bite into it, it has enough in there to actually paralyze you. If it's green, if the potatoes are green, do not eat them. You will probably die or at least get paralyzed and be violently ill. So yeah, literally real world example. We have potatoes. You're telling me that entire world, they're like, I don't know.
They're not willing to die for the food.
I guess die not. I love potatoes, man.
Yeah, they're okay.
I love potatoes. I love my spicy.
When you do stuff to them, they're excellent.
Like I like to have a baked potato, and then I slather it with cheese and sour cream and pepper and butter and just
you know the older bacon I bits, get,
just like you know. Sorry.
The older I get, the more I appreciate sour cream. As a kid, it was the most disgusting thing to me. Now, whenever I see him, I'm like, where's the nachos at?
Right?
Because it's time. It's go time.
It's delicious time is what it is. I don't know about you, man. but yeah, no. So, yeah, there's your food fact for the day. Young green potatoes are actually toxic and poisonous. Potatoes contain a chemical that actually can make you sick. Do cook your potatoes. Jeez. Don't eat them raw.
Boil them, bitches. And it's kind of funny. Baked potatoes take so long. I used to have a saying where I'd bake a potato because if I don't want it now, by the time it's done, I'll be hungry for one. That was just me, though.
All right. Well, I don't have too much more to say, sir. How about you?
I'm right there with you. I think it's ready for a number.
All right. On a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
Do you remember anything about the music?
It was there.
Yeah.
Not memorable. It was there when it needed to be, but wasn't terribly memorable.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I was trying to rack my brain. I don't remember any meaningful time that music helped enough for me to be like, they did a really good job composing that. So I'm going to go 7. Pretty middle of the road. It's not something that I'd be like, oh my God, you have to watch it. But it is something I'd want to put on your queue so you'll get around to it eventually.
Okay. I gotcha. For me, I'm going 5.
5? Middle of the road, huh?
Middle of the road. Okay. I'm going for 5 for a lot of the reasons that I said. It's like, it was really, really hard for me to get through. Even with the world building and all the positives that go along with it, the fact that I was left with so many questions, the fact that I actually don't really want a season 2, even with all those questions, I can't go above middle of the road. I mean, like, it's a good show. If you want to watch it, you should watch it. If you want to watch it, if someone's trying to force you to watch it, Rick, you should watch it. But aside from that, that's where I'm at. 5.
Okay. I can respect that. I can respect it. I can say you're wrong, but I can respect it.
Why are you going to be so violent towards me, man?
Because you hurt my feelings. It's a good show. I like the show. And you're like, no, I'm kidding. it's good, but it's not great. It's not great. One of the ones that's ever going to reach our top 10, you know?
Yeah. That's for sure. There is no denying that.
I feel like if they had a second season that was a little bit more upbeat, it had potential to. It had a very, in my opinion, unique story that had massive amounts of potential. And then you opened it up again to having the Hollow Earth theory. Mm-hmm. Massive potential there. They did a good job, probably for the budget they had. Fair enough. I think they could have done a better job.
Fair enough. All right, sir. So,
next week, I believe, is your choice.
Actually, next week is a recommendation from Galloway in our Discord server, who is also a patron. He says that we should watch Trinity 7. And so that's what we're going to watch. It definitely seems like it's something right up your alley there, Rick. And so we're going to...
Trinity 7. Why does that sound familiar?
It's probably one of the ones that you've thoroughly enjoyed. From my initial looks, it looks like an ecchi. So it's something that you more than likely have watched. That being said, I hope you enjoyed this week's choice. If you felt like we got something right, something wrong, didn't do it justice, did it too much justice, pick your flavor, got a recommendation for us, featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to reach out to us at Those Anime Guys on Twitter, to reach out to us on there. Patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to some bonus content. And we have a link for our Discord. We're always hanging out in there, talking in there. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick. And we'll see you in the Hollow Earth. Later.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.